been a while. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while, and it's going to be a while before our next one. Let's get that clear right now before we go further, so we don't end up forgetting this point, that the Kol break starts on Tuesday. So even though we have not met in a while because of Summer Bina and because of my own reasons, so the next class after tonight will be on August the 29th, Mirz Hashem. And by the way, tonight is, I didn't say it, tonight is what? Tonight is
July
25th. Okay. And we are in Parashat Vayechi. We are in the middle of the bracha that Yaakov is giving to Ephraim and Menashe. So we're on page 272. Our goal tonight is to finish to the end of the paragraph on page, the end of the chapter on page 274.
No,
well, we'll see.
Why not?
There's a lot to talk about. So, because we haven't met in so long, let me give a little bit of a synopsis of what's been going on. And we kind of lost the flow a little bit, so hopefully we'll address, see, for those listening online, this is like the next class, they just heard the last one. Hopefully we're going to address all the points we left hanging in the last class, but I can't guarantee it. So, we already had the drama with Yosef coming before Yaakov with Ephraim and Menashe, and Yaakov seeing prophetically that Ephraim and Menashe were going to have descendants who were not fitting to receive a bracha, and he questioned whether or not they should actually get the bracha, but in the end Yosef davened for them, and he did decide to give them the bracha. And then we had the famous, again, the drama, where Yosef brings Ephraim and Menashe before Yosef, and he strategically places Ephraim on his own, on Yosef's right, and Menashe on Yosef's left, so that it would be the reverse for Yaakov, that Menashe would be on Yaakov's right, and Ephraim would be on Yaakov's left, with the intention that that way the Bechor, the firstborn, would get the right hand of Yaakov, which would be the more significant bracha, but then Yaakov switches his hand. And that was done on purpose, because he said that the younger one will grow to be greater than the older one. Where Ephraim's descendants, although Menashe will certainly have some illustrious descendants, particularly Gidon, who will be a shofet, he will be one of the judges, and Hashem will make a miracle through Gidon, but Ephraim's descendants includes Yehoshua, who will first of all bring the Jews into Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land for them, and also Yehoshua will be the successor to Moshe in teaching Torah to all the Jewish people. So he will become Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, he will become the Rebbe of all of the Bnei Yisrael. And so Ephraim has a descendant that will rise to be greater than Menashe's descendants, and that's why he gets the right hand blessing. We pointed out that in the course of the blessing of the bracha, Yaakov really says two things. First, and we will read now, we'll read a bunch of psukim, a bunch of verses to get our bearings over here. Let's read from Pasuk Yudal, verse 14. I'm just going to read a bunch of it here. We did a lot of this last time, but let's do it anyway so we can make sure we're all on the same page. Vayishlach Yisrael etzim yino. Yisrael, meaning Yaakov, sent his right hand. Vayashef al rosh Ephraim, and he put it on the head of Ephraim, v'hu ha-tzayir, and he was the younger one. Vesmolo al rosh Menashe, his left hand on the head of Menashe. Sikel es yadav, he switched his hands with intent. Sikel comes from the word seichel, with intention, with knowledge. How do they translate it here? He maneuvered his hands. Okay, it was done deliberately. Ki Menashe habachar, for Menashe was the firstborn. Vayavarech es Yosef vayomar, he blessed Yosef and he said, Ho Elokim asher hishalchu avosai lefanav, the God that my ancestors went before him, Abraham v'Yitzchak, that's my ancestors, Avram and Yitzchak, Ho Elokim Haroe Osi, the God who shepherded me, Meodi Arayom Azeh, from my young years until now. Hamalach ha-goel osi mikora, the angel that redeems me from all evil. Yivarech es ha-ne'arim, should bless the lads. V'yikarei v'hem shemi, and call upon them my name Yaakov. V'shem avosai Abraham v'yitzchak, and the names of my ancestors, Abraham and Yitzchak. V'yidgu larov bekerav haaretz, and they should be as fish, to be as many as fish in the midst of the land. And we discussed last time the significance of fish in this bracha. Vayar Yosef, and Yosef saw ki yashis aviv yad yimino al rosh Ephraim, that his father placed his right hand on the head of Ephraim. Vayera beinav, this was bad in his eyes. Vayismoch yad aviv, and he supported or he pushed on the hand of his father. Lahasir osa, to remove it, me al rosh Ephraim, from upon the head of Ephraim, al rosh Menashe, to place it on the head of Menashe. Vayomer Yosef el aviv, and Yosef said to his father, lo chen avi, this is not so, my father. Ki zeh ha-bachor, for this one is the firstborn, meaning Menashe. Simi mincha al rosho, place your right hand on his head. Vayema ein aviv, his father refused. Vayomer, and he said, yadati v'ni, yadati, I knew, my son, I knew. Gam hu yala'am, also he will be to a nation. V'gam hu yigdol, and also he will grow. V'ulam, however, Achiv HaKaton, his younger brother, meaning Ephraim, Yigdal Mimenu, will become greater than he, will grow greater than he. Vizaro Yemalo Agoyim, and his descendants will be known throughout the nations. Vayavarechem Bayomahu Lemor, and he blessed them on that day, saying, V'cha Yivarech Yisrael Lemor, in you the Jews will bless, saying, Yisimcha Elokim Ke Ephraim Mechim Menashe, God should make you like Ephraim and like Menashe. Vayosem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe, and he placed Ephraim before Menashe. I'm going to stop here. We have two more psukim to read, but I'm going to stop here for the time being. So there's two blessings that Yaakov gives. First, he gives the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel Osi Mikora, which is in Pasuk Tezayin verse 16. The angel that redeems me from all evil should bless the lads and call upon them my name and the names of my ancestors Abraham and Yitzchak, and they should be like fish in the midst of the land. They should be many like fish in the midst of the land. And then he gives a second bracha after Yosef protests and said, you got it wrong, you mixed up who's the firstborn. And Yaakov responds, I did not, I knew what I was doing. He then gives a second bracha, and that's in Pasuk Chav, verse 20, and he says, in you the Jews will bless, saying, Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. And he put Ephraim before Menashe. Now the second bracha, the first one is clear what the bracha is. Hashem should protect you. The angel that protected me should protect you. And the names of Avram, Yitzchak, and my name should be upon you. And you should multiply like fish in the midst of the land. That's clearly a blessing. The second one, the bracha, is that others will bless using your name, using you. And this is Sugazon. This is what Jewish parents do to this day. And that is, what's that?
Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, on Friday night. Then it is the custom to bless our children on Friday night. That's a minhag that is almost universal amongst the Jewish people. And we bless our boys and our girls differently. With the girls, we say, Hashem should make you like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, like our matriarchs, which is understandable. That would be a wonderful bracha to give to any girl, to any female. To the boys, what one would have expected, or what the default would have been, would be to say, Hashem should make you like Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the patriarch. But Yaakov here says that no, that's not what's going to happen. Instead, the Jewish people are going to bless their boys and say, Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, rather than say, Hashem should make you like Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Which is astounding. The Mishnah says that a person is obligated to ask himself, when will my actions be comparable to those of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We are to challenge ourselves to try to reach the heights of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we're all obligated to do that. And yet, when we bless our children, we don't say, Hashem should make you like Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rather, Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. That's the second bracha that Yaakov gives to Ephraim and Menashe. The question is, why two brachos? And second of all, how is the second bracha a bracha? I can give you a bracha that Hashem should give you health and wealth and all good things and happiness. That's great. Why is it a bracha to you if I tell you that in the future others will say that their children should be like you? That's a compliment. It's certainly a compliment. If I say that I'd like my children to be like you, I'm complimenting you. But why is that a bracha to you? Why is it a blessing to you that in the future others are going to say that their children, their boys, should be like Ephraim and Menashe? Let's answer that question first.
I think one of the reasons because Ephraim and Menashe never lived in the land, they were always in exile, and our children should be as strong in their genes as they were.
How is that a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe? That's a bracha to the children.
Oh, that's right.
But how is it a bracha to them?
Well, maybe
those
children
should
be
strong
in their genes
and
they will
inherit
the blessing to those children will be beneficiary to the family.
Okay, the question is how? Right, okay, I'll hold that. Yeah.
Maybe if you give them a goal, and I mean that if the grandchildren and children and grandchildren will be blessed through them, it means that they better behave and be
okay. 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 That's not really a blessing. That's really you're saying it's a goal. It's a challenge.
It's
saying to them, you better be worthy of this.
Right.
I don't know if that's a blessing. In the end, it's a blessing.
But it's not
a classical blessing.
It's not.
Okay, go ahead.
I think maybe it's a blessing once removed. For example, if he's saying that he wants the children to emulate Menashe and Ephraim, people also saying that if he wants them to emulate, he also prays that they will be worthy of that.
Yaakov is by giving this bracha, Yaakov is actually giving them a bracha,
yes.
Ephraim and Menashe,
yes.
That they will be worthy that this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's, rather than saying you have to live up to it, and saying that I'm giving you a bracha that in the future others are going to say our children should be like you, which means you're going to live up to this responsibility.
Or maybe they already are.
Okay. So that would just be a compliment if they already are. But if it's to live up to it, then it's giving them a bracha. Okay, that's good. I'll make another suggestion, and I'll make a suggestion now, and then perhaps later on we'll see something else as well. But at least as an initial suggestion, that when we say that our children should be like Ephraim and Menashe, that means that Ephraim and Menashe are being remembered perpetually. It means that their names are constantly being mentioned by the Jewish people. If you have a boy in the house, that means every single week Ephraim and Menashe's names are being mentioned. I don't know. I mean, we mention Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov three times a day when we daven. But as around the Shabbos table, we don't mention Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov every single Shabbos necessarily. If it's the parsha of the week of in Sefer Bereishis, we almost always speak about Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But this time of year, we're in Parshas Ekev this coming Shabbos, we're not going to talk about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov around the Shabbos table, but Ephraim and Menashe will be mentioned,
mm-hmm.
because the boys get their bracha. So it is a bracha to have acquired some sort of perpetuity, And that's what's happening amongst the Jewish people. So that at least an initial suggestion. Yes.
Well, isn't it maybe because they were born in Galus in Mitzrayim, and they were very righteous, you know, being brought up in the area. They only had their father Yosef. They learned from Yosef, and they were very, very righteous.
Yeah, but you're not explaining why that's a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. You're explaining why we want our children to be like them, but that's not a bracha for them.
Because they probably reached a certain level of godliness already.
Well,
so we want our children to be like
but
them.
Why is it a bracha for them? That's a compliment.
It is a compliment.
Right. But how is it a bracha? A bracha means I'm giving you, I want Hashem to do more for you.
Maybe because the bracha was fulfilled already.
And that's not giving a bracha. That's just stating a fact.
I mean, if you're in a position to be a role model to use common, you know, common language, then you would think you were of that luck or whatever to be in that position to be a role model for everybody. So it has to be beneficial for you.
To be a role model, well, if you've lived up to it. I mean, they've passed away and we're still using their names today, right? As our role model.
Right.
Well, maybe it's just because we've had such a long break, my mind is going like, what is the purpose of blessing somebody?
The way a bracha works is that this is true. The classic bracha is what the Kohanim do when they duchen, when they give us a bracha. The way that it works is that when one person gives someone else a bracha, then they are asking that Hashem, it's a prayer, it's a tefillah. They're asking that Hashem do something for someone else, and the bracha goes through the one giving the bracha to the recipient. That's what it says in the Torah in Parshas Noso regarding the Birchas Kohanim, that it goes through the Kohanim to the people.
It gets channeled
through them. That's correct. So that's how a bracha works. The Gemara says, "Al tihi birchas hedyat kala ve'inecha," that don't let the bracha of a simpleton be light in your eyes. Even a simple person giving a bracha, we should say amen and understand that it can have significance, even though it's a simple person giving it. You never know whose bracha is going to actually have some effect. So when we say, we invoke Ephraim and Menashe's name because we want the bracha to be channeled through them, through their merit. It is in their merit that it's going to go to the children. We're going to see more than that, and that's what was brought up before by two people already, that we want our children to emulate Ephraim and Menashe, that Ephraim and Menashe grew up in Mitzrayim, in exile, and had only Yosef, and nevertheless they remained righteous. And not only remained righteous, but became themselves as great as their uncles, as great as the other Shvatim. That doesn't explain the why it's a bracha for them that we are giving others a bracha.
That you should be so great that you're really.
Okay.
You've already said that already.
Right.
Too,
right. Right.
It seems that that's the only.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah.
It would be hard for Yaakov to give them a bracha and say you should be like Abraham and Yaakov because he's saying be like me.
Right.
You know, so that's not. Okay.
I mean, he could have said Abraham and Yitzchak, and he did say before in the first bracha that Hashem that I should call upon you my name and the names of Abraham and Yitzchak. So he did use himself over there. He's close to death over here. He's nearly on his deathbed. So, you know, at that stage in life, it's going to be more altruistic. But that's a good point. Now, why two brachos? Look very carefully. There's a very important nuance over here. If you look back at Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, we pointed this out at the time that we read it first. It says, Vayavarech es Yosef Vayomar. He blessed Yosef and he said. While in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, it says, Vayavarechem, he blessed them. The first bracha was not a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. It was directed at Yosef. The second bracha was directed at Ephraim and Menashe, meaning that, of course, the first bracha was a bracha that Ephraim and Menashe should be protected and they should grow and multiply, etc. But the bracha was to Yosef. Of course, it's a bracha to a parent that their children should grow and multiply, and etc. So,
does it say anywhere that they appreciated this bracha?
It doesn't tell us. It's, I mean, we assume that to be true. It doesn't say it. Now, one second. Now, so even though Ephraim and Manasseh benefited from the first bracha, but it was a bracha to Yosef, meaning Yaakov didn't give it to Ephraim and Manasseh for the sake of Ephraim and Manasseh. He gave the first bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh for the sake of Yosef. He was saying to Yosef, I give you a bracha that your children should be protected and they should multiply. The second bracha is directed at Ephraim and Manasseh. In the first bracha, Yaakov says that Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be have called upon them the names of me meaning Yaakov, and Abraham and Yitzchak. There are two things going on here at the same time. The first thing that's happening is that Yaakov is making Ephraim and Manasseh have the status of Shevatim, of being tribes, even though they are grandsons of Yaakov and not sons of Yaakov. Nevertheless, they are being given the promotion of being Shevatim, of being tribes, as if they were actually sons of Yaakov. This is brought out earlier in a Pesukim we didn't read tonight, where Yaakov says to Yosef, back on page 270, in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Ve'atashne vanecha hanolodim lecha be'eretz Mitzrayim, and now your two sons that were born to you in Egypt, Adoi Elecha, before I came to you, Mitzrayim to Egypt, Lihem, they are mine, Ephraim u'menashe, Kiruvein v'shimon yuli, they will be to me like Ruvein and Shimon. I'm going to promote them and make them as if they were my own sons, meaning they will be tribes. This, there he says he's going to do it. In the first bracha here to Yosef, he actually does it. He says Hashem should call upon them my name and the names of Avraham and Yitzchak. What? And the other grandsons don't have the name of Yaakov and Avraham and Yitzchak called upon them? Don't we all have the names of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov called upon us? Of course we do. We're descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So of course we have their merit. So what is Yaakov telling them, telling Yosef, that they will have my name and the names of Avraham, Yitzchak called upon them? He's saying they will be as if they are directly my children. There's no intermediary between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Ephraim and Manasseh. It's as if they are sons of mine. And therefore they become tribes, they become Shevatim. And we know that is the case from here on in. The 12 tribes of Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael, are actually 13. And it's always Ephraim and Manasseh counted as separate tribes. The second bracha is directed at Ephraim and Manasseh specifically. So becoming tribes is a bracha to Yosef. Yosef deserved to get the bracha that his sons would become tribes. The second bracha is a bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, why do we say that our children should be like Ephraim and Manasseh? What is the intent over there? So it was already mentioned, one idea is that we want our sons to grow and prosper, even in Galus, even in exile, even if they don't have the best role models, just as Ephraim and Manasseh had a very difficult peer group. They were certainly in a place where influences were terrible, in Egypt, where there was idolatry all over the place, and there was black magic, all kinds of evil going on, and they rose to the occasion and not only became righteous, they became on the level of their uncles of the other Shevatim. There are at least two other reasons why we want our children to be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Anybody know other reasons why we want them to be like Ephraim and Manasseh?
Ephraim studied Torah. all the time with Yaakov.
What's that?
With Yaakov. Our son studied Torah with Yaakov.
That's true. That's true.
That our son should also.
Well, that's true. That's true. But the other Shvatim also studied Torah, right? But no, in Binyamin.
They must have really listened to their father.
Well, they're close. The Gemara says a person could be jealous of everyone. Jealousy is a terrible affliction. We all have it. A person would be naive to say that they're not jealous of anybody. We're all jealous of somebody, and it's. A person is capable of being jealous of anyone, except for two types of people.
Children.
A person, what's that?
Children.
Their children and their students. A person is not jealous of their children or their students. A person wants nothing other than that their children and their students should become greater than they are. Ephraim and Menashe became greater than Yosef. How? Because Yosef was only one tribe. And Ephraim and Menashe are two tribes. So through Ephraim and Menashe, Yosef actually became greater than he was before. We give our children a bracha that they should exceed us. And whatever we do, whatever accomplishments we have, we want our children to be even greater. That's a second reason why we say that they should be like Ephraim and Menashe. A third reason, and this is very subtle, and follow this very carefully. Look very carefully at Pasuk Chav, verse 20. Let's read it one more time. Vayavarechem bayomahu leimor. He blessed them on that day, saying, B'cha yivarech Yisrael leimor. In you, the Jews will bless, saying. This is what other Jews are going to say. Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim echim Menashe. Hashem should place you like Ephraim and Menashe. Vayasem as Ephraim b'fei Menashe. He placed Ephraim before Menashe. Why does the Torah have to tell us again he placed Ephraim before Menashe? Don't we know that already? Not only does it actually say Ephraim b'fei Menashe, Ephraim and then Menashe, so it's clear he put Ephraim before Menashe, but we just got finished with a whole debate between Yaakov and Yosef over who should get the right hand, who should get the left hand, and how Yaakov deliberately changed it. And then, so we're very sensitive to this point. There's no reason for the Torah to accentuate it one more time and tell us he put Ephraim before Menashe. Why say it again? And it seems to me that the Torah is not just telling us a fact over here. This is actually part of the bracha. The bracha is Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe in that he put Ephraim before Menashe. Now what does that mean? Why is that part of the bracha? Last time we met, somebody asked at the very end of the class that why would Yaakov do this anyway, put Ephraim before Menashe? Isn't he afraid of causing jealousy? After all, the whole issue with the brothers and Yosef was jealousy, where Yosef, who was the youngest of the sons, seemed to be favored, and that caused a jealousy between the brothers, which caused his sale and all of the anguish for 22 years that Yaakov went through. And don't we find already, with going back to Cain and Hevel, the first children, where there was jealousy between them and caused the murder? Don't we find jealousy between Yishmael and Yaakov? Don't we find jealousy between Yishmael and Yitzchak, and between Yaakov and Esav? We find this all the time. Why would Yaakov here do something which would seem to cause jealousy? And there is a striking thing to be aware of. With all of this Ephraim becoming greater than Menashe, rising above Menashe, we do not find that Menashe was jealous of Ephraim. We do not find that they argued or fought, or that there were hard feelings over the fact that Ephraim came before Menashe. There is one episode in Shoftim, in Judges, after the story of Yiftach, where the people of Gidon, who are from Menashe, do have a civil war with members of Ephraim, but it is not over there because of this. That's because of a specific thing that happened over there, that there were members of Ephraim who degraded Yiftach and his men, and as a result there was an unfortunate battle where many people were killed. But it was not as a result of jealousy between the two sides over who should be greater, Ephraim or Manasseh. We don't find that there is jealousy between them. It seems to me that part of the bracha that we give our children is Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, in that He placed Ephraim before Manasseh. Just as Yaakov was able to place Ephraim before Manasseh, and he knew that that would not cause jealousy, there would be no ill will between them, because they had such refined characters that there would be no ill will, that Manasseh wouldn't begrudge his brother Ephraim, and Ephraim wouldn't lord over his brother Manasseh, wouldn't gloat over his brother Manasseh. We want our children, each of them, to grow in their own way, and each of them become the best that they can be, and that there should be no jealousy or ill will between them. The words Vayasem es Ephraim lifnei Manasseh, he placed Ephraim before Manasseh, it seems to me is actually part of the blessing. You should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, in that he placed Ephraim before Manasseh. That could also be part of the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, that Yaakov was giving Ephraim and Manasseh a bracha, that in the future the Jews will be able to give a bracha to their children, that they should be, that their children should be like Ephraim and Manasseh, in that there was no ill will. The two of you will not have trouble because I'm putting Ephraim before Manasseh. It will not cause jealousy between you. That is perhaps a reason why it's a bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, and why we give our children the same bracha. Yes?
When I say one of you Moshe and
Aaron. Okay, so you're right. Now I was going to ask, my next question was, where do we find two brothers? Well, one rose above the other, and the other was not jealous. Another example, and that is Moshe and Aaron. And over there, Aaron not only was not jealous of Moshe, Moshe was afraid Aaron would be jealous. Aaron was not jealous, but instead, the Torah says, V'samach b'libo. He was happy, even in his heart. It wasn't even a show. It wasn't like he was outwardly smiling, but inside, he was gritting his teeth. He was actually inwardly happy for his brother. And that's true. There we do find that that Moshe and Aaron, you find the same thing. In all likelihood, the reason we don't do it is because they are later in history. And we're going to give a bracha that's going to go back to the beginning of our people. And Ephraim and Manasseh, since they have the status of Shevatim, they're going to be the ones. Yeah.
Some of the commentaries is that Ephraim was privileged to study with Yaakov.
Correct.
And Manasseh, I guess being older, was the age of his father.
That's right.
Would that suggest priority? You know, in blessing our children, what their priority should be?
Well, that could be. It could be. It seems that that was what Manasseh was best at, and this is what Ephraim was best at.
No, we have two other sons.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You mean like Yisachar and Zebulun? It's interesting. By the way, I wonder if Moshe and Aaron, if the reason why they were able to do what they did is because their father blessed them that they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, we mentioned last time that we would address one other point before we read these last two psukim, in that in Pasuk Yud Tes 19, it says, Vayimo'ein Aviv, his father refused to switch his hands back. Vayomer, and he said, Yodati Vini Yodati. I knew, my son, I knew. Why does he repeat it? I knew, my son, I knew. What is he emphasizing? What's that?
Sometimes the future.
Well, it's past tense, Adati, I knew.
just translate it as I know.
I know, yeah, you could translate it as present tense as well. So the simple answer, I mean, the simple meaning of the verse is, I know that Menashe is older than Ephraim, but I'm doing this anyway. Yosef, we mentioned last time that Yosef had made a mistake. Yosef thought, remember, that we described it last time, that Menashe and Ephraim, Menashe is older, so he's taller. Menashe and Ephraim. So Yosef brought them before Yaakov, with Menashe on Yosef's right and Ephraim on Yosef's left, in order that he should hug them and kiss them. That was the first thing that happened. And it would make sense that Menashe would be on the right, which would be the left of Yaakov. Then he pulled them out. He switched them, assuming that Yaakov would now put his right hand here and his left hand here. Yaakov is facing me. I'm Yosef. Yaakov is facing me. Yaakov, though, instead goes like this. So he puts his right hand here and his left hand here. So Yosef thinks that Yaakov has made a mistake and thinks that they're still the way they originally were. So Yaakov switched his hands in order to put his right hand on Menashe's head. He didn't realize that Yosef had already taken care of the problem by switching them around. So Yosef assumes that, of course, Yaakov wants to put his right hand on top of Menashe. But Yaakov doesn't realize that they've already been switched. So he puts his hands like this. So Yosef says, well, one second, Father, they're already in the right way. Go back to the other way. So he says, Yadati, I know. I'm way ahead of you, Yosef. I realized that you were going to switch them back in order that my right hand should go on Menashe. And it's a double bluff. I'm going back the other way. I'm putting my hand that way in order to get my hand on Ephraim. I know the whole thing. Yadati vini, I am well aware. Yadati, and I also know the following. Gam hu yela'am v'gam hu yigdol. I know that he's going to be greater. So I know everything that's going on over here, and I also know something about the future which you don't realize. it's very hard to compare ourselves to Yaakov, to Yosef. I mean, we're not going to begin to do that. Their level, their stature far exceeds anything we can imagine. But it's interesting on a very, very very diminished level that this dynamic plays itself out frequently between parents and children, where I'm talking about adult children and adult parents. When children are younger, and when children are younger, they think the parents know everything. When they're teenagers, they think the parents know nothing. But when it's nice when you have both teenagers and young children, so you kind of balance. You know, when you're told you know nothing by your teenagers, you go back to your little kids, and then they can tell you nothing. But the adult children and adult parents. So there's often a dynamic where the adult child who's looking out for the well-being of the adult parents will make assumptions. And often we will assume that we know as much or more than our parents about a certain subject or about a certain issue. And it happens often where the child doesn't fully grasp the situation. The parent, because of their experience, because of their age, knows more about it. This yadati vini yadati rings in my ears as a constant reminder that you have to be careful when you deal with people who have experience and who have been around the block several times. They know a lot more than you think they do. And you can think, well, you know, I've got it all worked out. Yadati vini yadati. I'm way ahead of you. I got it all worked out. I guessed everything that you guessed plus, and I even know more information that you don't even have any inkling about. Yadati vini yadati. Now on page 274 we have two more psukim. Vayomer. Vayomer. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef. Yisrael said to Yosef, Hinei anochi meis. Behold, I am about to die. V'hayo Elokim imochem, God should be with you. V'hishiv eschem el eretz avoseichem, and he will return you to the land of your ancestors. So Hashem should be with you, and you will eventually go back to Eretz Yisrael. V'ani nasati lecha shechem achan alachecha, I have given to you one shechem over your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha-emori, that I took from the hands of the emori, v'charbi uv'kashti, with my sword and with my bow. And there are two words I haven't translated, Shechem and Emori. And in the English, they don't translate it here either, Shechem and Emori. Right. Now we will see that there are several meanings for these verses. So I've given you something more than your brothers. I've given you a Shechem, one Shechem more than your brothers, that I took from the Emori, from the Emorite, with my sword and my bow. Before I do this, I just remember that I forgot to mention one other point to you, which is striking, which I saw today for the first time, and that is that in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, when he says, "B'chol yivarech Yisrael le'emor," in you the Jews will bless, saying, the Yerushalmi says, Targum Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem translation says, that this is the, we say it on Friday night to our sons. The Yerushalmi says that this is said by Jews at a bris milah, at a circumcision, to say to the boy, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Mechim Menashe. Now, I don't know that this is a universal minhag, but that's what it says over there. So the question is, why at a bris? Why particularly at a bris? So one of the commentaries to the Yerushalmi says, because since Yaakov says, Achiv Hakaton Yigdal Mimenu, his younger brother will grow bigger than the older brother. The younger one will grow bigger, and we say at a bris, Zeh Hakaton, this young one, Gadol Yihyeh, will eventually become big. That's a bracha that we give to the Rachanimo. We give it to a young child who's having a bris. Zeh HaKatan, this young one, Gadol Yihyeh, will become big. So because of that, because here, the young one will rise to be big, to be greater than his brother, we give that bracha to the Rachanimo, as we'll give that bracha to the it's a play on words, that we give to the baby. Now Yisrael says to Yosef that I've given you one shechem over your brothers that I took from the Emori with my sword and my bow. So there are at least two ways to understand this pasuk. One is that Yaakov gave Yosef the city of Shechem. Remember, the city of Shechem was purchased by Yaakov. He purchased the area back in Parshas Vayishlach. So it was more than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, which was given to the Jews by Hashem. This was actually purchased by Yaakov. And Yaakov gives it to Yosef. And he gives it to Yosef as, what does Yosef do with Shechem? Anybody know? Yosef is buried in Shechem. Yes. A few years ago, the Arabs over there defiled his grave. Hashem should pay them back in kind.
Amen.
But he was given Shechem. He was buried in Shechem. So he gives it to Yosef. It says that he took it from the Emorite, with my sword and my bow. So this refers back in Parshas Vayishlach, where the people of Shechem took, as you know, that Shechem himself, the man Shechem, took Dinah, and he molested her, and as a result, Shimon and Levi, well, it's really all the brothers, came up with a plan and had the people of Shechem become circumcised, and then Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole city, and then they took back Dinah. Yaakov then said to Shimon and Levi that you have caused a problem, because now there's going to be trouble, because the people living in the land will rise up and attack me, and I'm few in number. So they responded, "What? How we're going to let our sister be treated this way?" But that was the, we discussed that conversation back then. The Medrash tells us, it's not in the psukim, it's not in the verses, but the Medrash tells us that there was an attack then, that the surrounding nations living in the land of Canaan rose up and attacked Yaakov at that time, and Yaakov and his sons had a major war with those nations, and of course soundly defeated them. So that would be this reference over here. I'm giving you Shechem, which I took from the Amori. The Amori could be, even though Canaan is how we usually use the, we know there were seven nations living in the land of Canaan. One of those nations was Canaan. And so usually the umbrella name is Canaan. Sometimes you find that Amori is the umbrella name for all of the nations living in the land of Canaan. So it would be that I took Shechem from the Amori with my sword and my bow in that war that I defeated them. And I'm giving it to you, Yosef, as a burial place. I saw an amusing medrash that says that it's a mashal to it's a parable to thieves that stole a barrel of wine. They steal the barrel of wine and they take it to their hiding place and they're drinking the wine. And the owner of the barrel of wine discovers them drinking his wine. And he says, "Excuse me, listen, when you're done, would you please put the barrel back where you got it from?" So too over here, the brothers sold Yosef in Shechem.
Right.
So when they bring the body of Yosef back to Israel, after they get out of Egypt, Yaakov is saying, "Would you please put him back where you got him? Bury him in Shechem." It's a little bit of an amusing medrash that is over here.
Is this another opportunity for them to do tshuva by not being jealous?
Well, that,
getting something extra?
That could be. I saw that addressed over here. Why they weren't afraid? The Daz Zakenim Bali Atosa says he wasn't afraid that they'd be jealous over here because Yosef was taking care of them. They all understood Yosef deserved something. After 22 years of being sold, and then now he's supporting them, they understood he deserved something. We're going to end, though, with one other explanation. And Rashi mentions this, that the word Shechem can also mean portion. It can mean a chelek, a portion. And the Emori, the word Emori comes from the word Omer, which means to speak. And it's a reference to Esav. Esav was the one who is called an Amori, either because he acted like those who lived in Canaan, he acted like the Amori and the Amorites, or because he used to speak to his father Yitzchak to trick him, to make him appear righteous. And so he says, "I've given you one extra portion that I took from the Amori, that I took from Esav," meaning the portion of being the firstborn that I took from my brother Esav, I'm giving it to you, Yosef. You're getting the bracha of being the firstborn because the firstborn gets a double portion.
Mm-hmm.
So two of your sons become Shevatim. You get a double portion. Where everybody else gets one portion, you get a double. Your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, become tribes themselves. And I took it from Esav, with my sword and my bow. He didn't have a fight with Esav, but my sword and my bow refer to my wisdom and my prayer. Chachma, wisdom, is compared to a sword, where a person, through their wisdom, is able to do something which they can make a lot happen, as if they had a sword and they were fighting with an enemy. You can use your intellect, your wisdom, to outsmart somebody else, as we've seen the chess game that Yosef played, etc., and be able to make something happen. tefillah, prayer, is compared to a bow. Why is it compared to a bow? Because prayer has the power to affect things that you can't affect personally. Just as with a bow and arrow, you can shoot the arrow and it can fly much further away than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can affect something very far away. You can pray today in Atlanta, Georgia, and you can affect something in Eretz Israel. You can affect something on the other side of the world by davening. Your prayers are not limited to where you are, just as a bow and arrow is not limited to where you stand. It can go far.
Isn't there like a saying like that, that if a Jew lays tefillin in Germany, I don't know the word.
Yeah, there's a Yiddish phrase like that.
How does it go?
I don't remember the exact phrase.
Some other Jew will do a mitzvah in another country.
Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I've given you one extra portion that I took from Esav with my wisdom and with my davening. So that is the end of Parak Memchez of chapter 48. Next time, which as I said is going to be on Mirat Hashem, August the 29th, we will begin Parak Memtes, chapter 49.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.